Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, I'm excited to announce that we are being joined again by Michael Belkin, founder of the Belkin Report, also writes the Belkin Gold Stock Forecast. Now, it's been a while since I had Michael back on the show. I read over a lot of his work. And Michael, let's talk about a lot of different markets. I do want to bring everyone up to speed on your broad thoughts on the markets, but let's start with the metals, especially gold. Gold's had a tough month of June. It's been a roller coaster ride for gold, especially over the last about 10, 11 months. And unfortunately, that roller coaster has been to the downside. Now, that is after a very nice multi-year run higher. So it really depends. If you're looking at the short-term charts, they're not looking good. The long-term charts and those long-term uptrends, those are still intact. Michael, bring us up to speed on your thoughts on the gold sector. What's driving it here, and do you think a bounce is coming?
Okay, hey, thanks for having me on, Corey. It's been a while. Gold and the GDX gold stock ETF and most gold stocks bottomed in the beginning of May, March 1st for the GDX. And we had a big rally, so the GDX went from early March low, it was around 31, went up to 40. Pretty big move, right? 10 on 30, so 30% move. We pulled back about two-thirds of that. I attribute this to part of the larger rotation that's happening in sector rotation. So just to take a step back, what I do is I have a forecasting model, form of time series analysis. I went to UC Berkeley Business School. I was at Salomon Brothers in the 80s and 90s, prop trading. I was a quantitative strategist in prop trading. And I've been doing the Belkin Report ever since then, 1992 to now. So I'm looking at forecasts, econometric forecasts, time series analysis. And I think what happened is the sector rotation favored cyclical stuff. If we look at the broader market, so energy, materials, industrials, things like that had a big push coming off of the recovery lows. I was very bullish on the stock market back last year, you know, when the Fed was pumping money and that we'd had a big correction. And that all turned on a dime basically in May. So in the broader market, we've had a big underperformance of material stocks. So material stocks have been getting dumped. Now, I don't understand why most people aren't. This is really obvious if you look at ratios of what's going on. So the cyclical stuff is not working anymore in the stock market. So industrials, financials, materials have all been dumped to the tune of 5, 10, 15% negative alpha. So they've underperformed in the last month or so. Now, gold got caught up in that. And I attribute this to algos and basically moronic trading of people that include gold with like chemicals or paper and forest products or containers of packaging. So these automatic robotic trading systems, you know, and that also includes CTAs. CTAs are I think, are moving short gold. They hit gold really hard and they hit the gold stocks really hard as the cyclical stuff has been getting dumped. Now, I don't agree with that. I think, you know, obviously gold is a monetary asset. It's on the balance sheet of central banks. And by the way, on that in that context, Wall Street Journal Market Watch just ran an article saying Basel III regulations, which just took shape, they just were imposed a couple days ago. They reclassify gold, physical gold, from a tier three to a tier one zero risk weight asset, which means banks can own these things and they don't have to allocate any capital to it, basically. So it has a risk-free asset, just like treasury bills or something. So I think that's actually bullish. So I think this is a correction and uptrend. And what I have noticed is I cover all the investable gold stocks in the world, basically things that aren't moose pasture. You know, moose pasture is something, you know, northern Canada with no no firm reserves, anything like that. Some just a promoter, you know, Vancouver promoter. So I cover gold and silver and platinum mining stocks that have reserves, have production, and basically institutional investors could invest in it, you know. So I have regional indexes that I've composed of Australian index, Canadian index, South African index, London index, U.S. index, silver index, platinum index. So what's happening is the U.S. Stuff got knocked really hard by this algorithmic trading. I see a huge outperformance happening in Canadian and Australian shares, which had kind of been not acting so great for a few months prior to this. So basically the algos and sort of automatic robotic trading knocked gold down with the cyclicals, but the Canadian and Australian didn't really follow that much. And I see them coming back. So I like Canadian and Australian stocks, long story short, in terms of regional exposure to the gold market. I think this is a correction in an uptrend. We've held above the March lows, and I think we're about to turn back up. You know, we're turning back up the last few days. Let's see what happens when this thing starts coming back. So I expect gold and gold stocks to rally, and I would rather be invested in Australian and Canadian names. I put all these, I do individual stocks in the gold stock forecast report that I put out for individual investors. There's not really enough time to get into that here, but just regionally, prefer Australia and Canada at the moment.
So, Michael, what about this broad environment, too, of a pullback in that inflation trade? That's one point. We're seeing the rise in the U.S. dollar. That obviously puts heat on gold. And just saying that algos pushed the price down over June, the price dropped about $150. That's a big move. Is that not showing that, again, just because of what happened in the markets, this pullback in the inflation trade, investors have a different narrative in mind? They're seeing the world in a different way than they did when the market was running kind of midsummer last year.
Perhaps. Again, I just think it's this, you know, there are human beings who invest on the basis of big picture, you know, macro views, micro views, and then there's these automatic, really algorithmic trading, and they don't really care about anything. All they care about is, and also their horizon is very short term. So, they get in and get out for the most part, and they tend to gangbang markets together. And of course, it's also big investment banks, you know, the big bank dealers. So they knock gold down. But to tell you the truth, I would rather be short the banks at the moment. So my work is showing financials have peaked. So, you know, these guys are knocking gold down, you know, the JP Morgans of the world. I would rather short JP Morgan stock, JPM, than GLD or GDX. So, I think the rotation is turning against financials more than it is against gold and silver. You know, we'll see how this plays out in the next few weeks. I expect a rebound to happen soon. Short term, I think this is a good buying zone for some of these stocks that have been knocked down. So that's all I can say. I'm positive on that. The stock market itself is a very weird environment now. We have had a huge increase in margin debt, right? Huge increase in speculation, massive inflows, ETF inflows, which are dwindling. They've pretty much peaked out. They've really slowed down a lot. And it's, of course, it all gets back to what the Fed is doing. Fed QE, you know, $120 billion a month. They're buying treasury bonds and mortgage-backed securities. And it's hard for the market to crash when that's happening. But I don't necessarily think there's anything mechanical about it. I think it more affects psychology, and the psychology is dwindling. So there's been these huge inflows into stocks. I was extremely bullish, 16 months ago. When was that? March. After we had the virus sell off and we started turning up, I said my monetary work and my model's forecast said the market's going up. This is a huge correction. It's time to get long. I was long tech, financial cyclicals, all this stuff. I think that game is over. So what's happening beneath the surface of the market is a shift into FANG stocks. And this is really weird because it's a defensive trade to me. So If you look at this, the New York FANG index, I just put this in this week's report, from February 16th to May 13th, it underperformed the S&P by 18%, negative alpha of 18%. That's huge. So, you know, at the Apples, Amazons, Netflix, et cetera, of the world, way underperformed. And they, people were going into all these cyclicals. Then everything turned in May. So what was that? That was like 6 weeks ago, seven, 8 weeks ago now. May 13th was a turning point. So since then, through last Friday, the New York FANG index had outperformed by 12%. So minus 18% underperformance from February to May, 12% outperformance from May to now, and there's more in the last few weeks. Now, what's happening is the indexes are hardly up, but people are flocking back into these FANG stocks, not people, but big institutions. And I see this as a defensive trade. So that, if you're a big institutional portfolio manager, you probably can't get fired or lose your investors if you bought Amazon or Apple. So I'm just thinking like that. I'm not necessarily, that's not what I think, but that's what they think, right? So they're going back into these big liquid trillion-dollar market cap stocks because the market is acting dicey. Other stuff's not working. Small caps are not working, so they're sort of, they've been flat to underperforming for a while. No new high in the Russell 2000. Things that I was short solar stocks, EV, electrical vehicle stocks, cloud software stocks. They worked fantastic. There was huge underperformance from February to May. So solar had minus 40% alpha. So you could make huge money being short solar. EV stocks, workhorse, things like that, minus 54% alpha. So those have turned around. Those are having a bounce in a downtrend, but it's more led by these FANG stocks. So I think the market is working towards the top. I've been long this market for a long time. I see the S&P and the small caps and the European indexes making a top, okay? And this going into this defensive stuff, FANG, and here's a weird one for you, treasury bonds. Now, everybody hates, for the most part, hates treasury bonds, right? But if you look at it, you know, consensus wisdom has inflation is so bad, the government spending, the Fed's printing money, it's so bad for bonds, bonds should crash. So everybody's short bonds, right? There's still huge short interest. But if you look at TLT, which is the Treasury bond ETF, it bottomed back in March with gold, right? So mid-March, TLT was about 134, now it's 144, so it's up 10 points, good 8% or so move in the last 3 or 4 months. Now, who would have thunk that, right? Who would have thunk bonds rally when inflation is bad and the budget deficit is out of control? So something's going on beneath the surface of this market. And if you look at the headline economic statistics, everything looks supposedly great, right? PMIs are up, you know, everything. Everybody's, the U.S. economy is thriving. The recovery is happening, blah, blah, blah. It looks so great. But the stock market, which anticipated this in the huge rally starting 18 months ago, is now kind of anticipating something else. So the market looks ahead, and it's going defensive. So it's, and treasury bonds are rallying. You know, what's weirder than that in this kind of environment? So I think the market, the bond market, and the sector rotation market is looking ahead, and it's not liking what it's seeing so much anymore. And big investors, I think are going into FANG. They're going into, oddly enough, into treasury bonds, out of financials, out of cyclicals, out of industrials, out of chemicals, out of materials, all that kind of stuff. And I think this will favor gold stocks, which are a defensive play in a weird way. So the defensive stuff is sort of acting better, beginning to act better. Not everything, not utilities lately, not consumer staples. They're still in the doghouse. But for instance, REITs. REITs are a defensive, high-yielding defensive play. They've been one of the best outperforming S&P sectors as a real estate sector, which is basically REITs. So beneath the surface of the market, all is not well. And I don't know what that tells you. Nobody has a perfect crystal ball. If we're looking ahead at the world, maybe, you know, there's this constant virus propaganda. It's so bad. You know, it's like every time the medical and health authorities they seem to think their reason for existence is to keep everyone scared and locked down and covered with masks and vaccinated and everything. And every time there's a new variant, they make big headlines and, oh, it's so bad, you know, we got to. So right now they're talking in California about going back to mandatory masking. So anyways, long story short, I think beneath the surface, the rotation, which is what I focus on a lot, is going defensive. And defensive can be a weird thing. In a weird way, it's FANG stocks, which you wouldn't normally think of as defensive. But that's what's happening beneath the surface of the market.
Well, Michael, there's a lot to unpack there, a lot of different threads to follow. But the defensive trade is one where bonds would do well, REITs would do well, as you mentioned. As far as the FANG stocks, it's interesting to get your take on that you see those as a defensive play since they're larger cap for the big institutions, because a lot of people are looking at that as the growth sector and a rotation out of value and into growth in the tech sector. But it's promising that you think gold is going to bottom sometime soon here in this recent pullback and move forward along with the gold stocks. So I'm sure some folks on our site will be glad to hear that. As far as the gold stocks, you made an interesting point about the Canadian and the Australian companies being the ones you favor now. I would love you to unpack that for just a second. Is that more because of the currency exchange? Do you think they're just better run companies, or is it just patterns that you're seeing in the indexes you follow?
Okay, good question. I think there's a lot. So again, I cover not moose pasture companies. And what I've actually been adding to my coverage, there are a lot of Canadian listed companies that have been on the ascendancy. Whereas in the US, there haven't been any new listings for the most part. You know, they're kind of like old companies that have been around for years for the most part. I mean, there's a few. But in Canada, there's an entrepreneurial spirit. And so I have a lot of, basically, I don't cover things that are like $100 million market cap, $50 million market cap. I mean, you can make fortunes in those things, but, one company will have a big discovery and the price will go from 10 cents to $10 or something. But for every one of those, there's ones that just never come through. The drilling results, nothing just happens. So I'm concentrated on things basically over maybe the very bottom, a few hundred million, mostly over 500 million market cap, usually closer to a billion and upwards from there. So anyways, there's a lot of Canadian companies that are having encouraging results, usually with mines, a lot of Latin American exposure, Mexico silver mines, things like that. So I have a whole universe of silver producing Canadian companies, and I think that's what's driving it. So this entrepreneurial spirit, companies with new production, new reserves, new discoveries, and there's also a lot of merger activity going on. So for instance, Roxy Gold, there's a lot of little mergers going on. I expect that to continue. So companies are acquiring other companies, the Barricks and Newmonts of the world. It's cheaper for them to buy these companies that have proven reserves than it is to do drilling for themselves. Now, I'll just throw out one name. Here's one for you. Kirkland Lake. Okay, this stock got knocked less badly than the GDX, but say in the US, KL, it's also listed in Canada, of course. So it's gone from 44 to 38. And this is a great company, right? I mean, huge, big producer, great reserves. You know, there's not a lot of bad news about this company. There's a lot to like about it. And so this is actually my number one pick at the moment. So I like Kirkland. Kirkland has gone from 44 to 38, down 6 on 44. So it's down not as much, down 10, 15%, where some of these other stocks have gone down 20, 30%. It's held up better major Canadian miner, huge producer, huge reserves. So that's one example of stocks I would buy here. I'm a big fan of buying low and selling high. Okay, that's what my model does. It's not, for the most part, doesn't like buying things high. That's why I'm kind of nervous on the overall market, where it's come up huge for 18 months. People that are putting money into ETFs and everything, you know, hello, it's kind of late to the party here. You know, why weren't you buying? You know, there were huge outflows at the bottom, right? March 2020, the world, it looked like the end of the world. And as John Templeton said, the best point to buy is at the point of maximum pessimism. And he also said the best point to sell is at the point of maximum optimism. So there's a lot of maximum optimism in the overall stock market and in things that people are buying the most of. Meanwhile, you've got these gold stocks like Kirkland down 15%, down 44 to 38. And I think it's turning up. I think it's a good entry point. So that's one I would buy. I have a whole in the gold report. I cover a lot of other smaller, medium-sized companies. But that'd be my number one pick right now I'd put out there for you.
Okay. Hey, Michael, good having you back on the show, buddy. I know it's been a little while. We'll try to get you back on a bit more regular of a basis and stay up to date on really this rotation. That is the trend in these markets. And unfortunately, this month, it was a big rotation out of gold and, quite frankly, even out of a lot of the commodities, too. Again, a bit of a pullback in that inflation trade and more money going into the, tech stocks, people being a bit more aggressive. Hey, Michael, it's great chatting with you. I'll post a link to the Belkin Report so everyone can get a bit more information on your different newsletters. Michael, thanks for your time. Have a great rest of your week.
Okay, thanks so much, Corey.
All right.